Good morning, everyone. Been pretty excited to come and speak here today. I think it's my first time speaking at this church, so I'm pretty excited. I hope you are too. I appreciate the clapping too. That really encouraging. All right, I'm just going to pray and then I'll get into it. Dear Lord, thank you for this time we can gather here together in your name as one body. I pray that my words would be yours. I pray that your Holy Spirit would flow through me so that way when I open my mouth, you're speaking. Lord, I pray that you open the hearts to the people that are here to receive your words, prepare them. Lord, I pray for those who could not make it that you would meet them where they are. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Community of Believers. As many of you know that I'm into beekeeping. It's probably one of my biggest, hobbies, something I love to do. And it's really a place I can go and just feel connected to God. I love the outdoors, I love nature, and it's incredible seeing this system that God has created and how these tiny little bees can make such delicious honey, this liquid gold that we all love. Who here likes bees? Who here likes bees but doesn't like getting stung by bees? Now, I used to not be able to tell the difference between like a honeybee and a wasp. They're very different. I could talk for an hour on that, and I won't today. But one of the incredible things I never thought about when I got into beekeeping was just how tight the system is in a hive. That there's thousands of bees that make up this one hive to create this honey. And with that, these bees have like individual roles in the hive. So we have the queen bee. You can go to the next slide. I forgot to ask for the clicker. I don't know if you can see that very well. There's a green dot. Here's the queen bee. Her role is to lay eggs to make new bees. And so that's all she does all day, just walk around laying eggs. The growth of a beehive greatly depends on the quality of your queen. If you have a good queen who lays, she's going to fill every empty spot, and then lots of bees will come out and be able to produce. If you have a bad queen, she'll be lazy or slacking, and there won't be as many bees in your hive, the production will be slow. We have the queen's attendants. So you can see in the picture, there's a number of bees that have circled the queen. And so what their role is, to literally just follow her around and feed her, make sure she's fed and clean and healthy, so she can just continue laying. We have nurse bees. So they're the ones that feed and take care of the eggs and larvae after the queen has laid them. They'll feed them. It's called royal jelly. It's like a different kind of nectar, and eventually cap them, and then those bees will come out and join the hive. Foragers. These bees will go out and collect pollen and nectar. Pollen for protein for the larvae, and then nectar, which turns into honey. The builders, they build out the honeycomb and turn the nectar into honey. Guard bees, they watch the entrances of the hive and guard the hive from anything that might threaten or attack. Undertakers, they clean out the hive, they remove the dead bees. Then there's drones. So drones are the male bees in the hive. All the other bees, they're all female. Drones really have one purpose that I won't get into right now. And really, in a queen's life, the drones are used once and then that's it. After that, the drones really have no purpose. They're just, all they get to do is just sit around and eat. They don't have much, production for the hive. So you could say it's a pretty good life. Until winter, when all the males are kicked out. But here we have this one hive. So these were when I lived in Little Britain. Here's my beehives in the backyard. So we have that one hive. There's thousands of bees. It's one unit. But all these different roles that the bees have all work together in order to make this hive function properly. And sometimes you'll have a struggling hive where the queen might not be laying, can't make enough bees to produce enough honey so they could starve or die. The queen's attendants don't do a good job taking care of the queen. She gets sick. The nurse bees don't feed the larvae properly. The guard bees, there's other, like the predators that might come try to eat the bees or the honey. If they do a poor job, right, then the you know, the hive's going to suffer. But when all these roles are done properly and fulfilled, then the hive will prosper. It will thrive. It'll fill up. There won't be any room for the queen to lay her eggs, and so she'll take half the bees, leave, and start a new hive. And the hive that she left will make new queens and just repeat that cycle. And it'll grow and split and grow and split when all this is done properly. So that's, here's a frame. I don't know if you can see, there's almost like an oval on the inside. So that's all like the brood, so the baby bees that are going to come out. Those kind of the black or the empty cells, that's where they put all the pollen to feed the larva. On the outside corners, that's honey to feed. So this is what a hive looks like, the frames will look like when you have a prosperous hive. The queen has filled out all those empty cells. They have room to store pollen for protein, and they have food. This is what a prosperous hive, the frame will look like on it. And again, when a hive prospers, it'll grow and it will split, making more hives. Often when I'm out, you know, tending to the beehives and looking at them, I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit for the common good. For one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by the one, the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again to the head, to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. Here, Paul has laid out the body of Christ. It's one body, but the members have individual, or are individually picked with purposes to fulfill the body. You know, we're all different members. We all need to work together to make that body function. Just like in a beehive, you have all these different roles from the bees. And in order for that hive to function properly, those bees must fulfill those roles. But what I get out of this passage is there's a specific place for you in the body of Christ. When it comes to spiritual gifts, verse 11 tells us, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. God has given you a gift, a spiritual gift. You can use that to build up the body, encourage one another, heal each other, speak peace over one another, through the power of the Holy Spirit. We're all given a gift. And that can be different from one another in order to help each other. You have a specific function in the body. Verse 17 to 18. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. Now this can be directly related to the spiritual gifts and how the Holy Spirit manifests through us to act out on these gifts. But I believe it goes beyond just spiritual gifts. But when we look at verse 28, it has the different roles in the body, but also the skills God has given us and the ability we have to learn and gain more skills. You know, some practical examples is, like, who here is handy with tools? Who here is not? We all have different skills and talents that are different from other people. We can use those. God can use those gifts and skills that we have to help each other out. Who here is wise and experienced? You know, we're all walking through different things. Sometimes there's someone we rub shoulders with, or in our church, or in our body, or they may have gone through a similar thing. And you can use that to help someone walk through a situation they're going through. Because they've experienced that when we might not, and we might not know what to do in that situation. That's another way we can help each other out. And there's countless more. Like, what are you good at? What are you passionate about? Think about that for a second. God can use that for his glory. He can use that to build up the church. Like an eye is distinctly different from a hand, we are distinctly different from each other. It is important to seek out your role in the body so you can help build up the body of Christ. But that is easy said. Like, questions we'll have is, where do I fit? How do I receive these spiritual gifts? What is my role in the body? Because that's one of the toughest things to do, is find your place. Especially when you're new and you're entering in a body of believers or a church where it seems like everyone kind of knows where their place is. You almost feel like an outsider. But I encourage you to pray on this, to meditate on it, dive into the Word, study it. Pray that Holy Spirit would manifest these things through you and what you say and what you do. Talk to your pastors and spiritual leaders about this. They can help direct you. You know, there's teachers in the body of Christ. We have our spiritual leaders that when we don't understand something, we can go to for help. I believe many of you here know the role that you have and know the gifts that God has given you. But at the end of that passage, it says, to earnestly desire the greater gifts, and God will show you still a more excellent way. Keep seeking. Keep diving in. There's always more the Spirit has for us, that God has for us. I also believe that some of us who maybe we don't know where our giftings are. You know, well, where do we fit? Upon salvation, the Holy Spirit is already dwelling inside us. He's already at work in us. And as we strive to live for Christ and follow in his footsteps, he's going to manifest through you. And you're probably already acting in those giftings without really recognizing what they are. And with that, practice that. Keep seeking. You know, read your Bible, and those will become known to you, so then you can target it and specifically practice it to grow. Though we are uniquely different and varying giftings, we are part of one body, verse 12 and 13 tells us. It is the same Spirit that empowers all of us. Maybe you're still trying to find where you fit, and if you don't know, you are no less part of the body or valued in the body of Christ differently. Some of us know where we fit. Some of us are practicing our giftings. Some of us have no clue. You're just as valued as everyone else. Don't be discouraged. We're all in this together. Verse 25 to 26 says there's to be no division. We should have the same care for one another. Where one suffers, we all suffer. Where one triumphs, we all rejoice. We're all at different stages in life and situations. Some of us here, you know, are mourning. We've lost loved ones, and that is hard. And it's hard to be joyful and rejoice for others when we're going through that. But if we are in a stage where we're rejoicing, we need to mourn with our brothers and sisters. And if our brothers and sisters are in a season where they feel on top of the world, rejoice with them. The Sundays, the Advent on joy. Sharing in joy can precede any mourning, any rejoicing, and it can be contagious. In our searching for where we belong, we need to know that it isn't about us. There's a very self part to this, because we need to step out in order to find those giftings and see where we fit, you know, and step out to practice them to help grow the body. But in the end, we're a part of a bigger body. It's not about us. When we are unable to rejoice with others or mourn with others because we have too much of a self-focus, we're going to miss out on what's in store for the body and us personally. It's important to do everything with love. When a body is functioning like a beehive, you're going to see growth. It's going to grow, it's going to split, it's going to produce more. I believe when we're pursuing our giftings and acting as the body, as Paul has laid out here what the body is to be like, we're going to see growth. Since I have been here, I've heard countless times by different people, words spoken over the church, that we're going to see people in Newcastle and the community saved. We have the 115 expansion coming. There's going to be a boom here. I don't believe that this is something that we have to wait for or should be waiting for. When the body of Christ lives and functions together, it will grow. As we strive to follow Christ and seek out our giftings and practice our giftings, studying the word and worshiping in spirit and truth, we will be prepared when opportunity comes to tell others about Jesus. When this body is strengthened and Holy Spirit is working through us and flowing through us, it becomes easy to share about the body and about who Christ is. Because it can be intimidating talking to the people about Jesus. And that's where we're not alone. Look around. You know, we've got a great group of people here. This goes beyond just these buildings and into the greater body of Christ as well. But more importantly, we have the power of the Holy Spirit working through us. And when we say, God, I don't know what to say, can you speak through me? His Spirit will flow. And you'll realize that, you know what, this isn't so hard because I don't have to do it. I just need to step out and allow Holy Spirit to speak through me. Although I can see parallels between how the church functions and how a beehive functions and how all these roles need to work together in unity in order to grow and to thrive and split. I'm glad we're not a beehive. I really am. Now, when a beehive struggles, there's a beekeeper who can step in and kind of help out. You know, if they're having a hard time getting food, you can feed them. The queen is not doing a good job, you can put a new queen in. One of my friends, he's into beekeeping, and he worked with a commercial beekeeper. And with a good queen comes genetics. You can actually pay top dollar for queens to get a good hive. And he was saying the guy he worked for spent $200 on a queen, bought two of them. And before a queen's mated, it could be skittish. And he watched them fly away as he tried to put them in a hive. Just watching $400 fly away. But as a beekeeper, you know, it's a hobby. I love helping my father-in-law, but I fail my hive often. Last year, I didn't insulate it properly, and I lost one of them to the cold. Like, it's easy to, that's part of the learning process as you're growing and learning a new skill. Like anything, there's room for error. But I just think it's so important as the body of Christ to know we don't have a faulty beekeeper looking after us. We have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who will never fail us, who will always love us. And where one part of the body might fall short, we can lift them up because it's the power of the Holy Spirit working in the body of Christ to allow us to function as we do. Because there's nothing we can do humanly possible to make everything right. And that's why Jesus died on the cross, so that when we make a mistake, we can lay it on the cross with him. I don't know what God has exactly planned for this church in the future, for the greater body of Christ outside of these walls. But I know that as we seek Christ out to follow his plan, spend it in prayer with one another as the body, trust in him in everything we do, he's going to guide us through this next season, through a personal circumstance, and we can know we're not alone. We have the body of Christ, our fellow people surrounding us to help lift us when we fall, so we can help others when they fall. And greater than that, we have the King of Kings to lift us up. Just going to pray and close. Dear Lord, thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for us, that we could be saved. Lord, that you would send your Spirit to flow through us so that not by our power in our human nature, but by your Spirit, you can fulfill your plan and role for the body of Christ. Lord, as we look into this holiday season, it can be hectic and busy. I pray that your Spirit would be with us in what we say and what we do, that we would feel encouraged to dive into your word in prayer, to learn about where we can fit. Lord, I just pray for this community right now. If anyone is feeling lost or alone, Lord, I pray that you would just lift them up. God, I pray that you would just empower the body to surround them, to make them feel that they don't have to fight through this alone, that it's hard to see you in our circumstance. But when we have the body surrounding us, you are so much more clear. In Jesus' name, amen.